Call roll, see if we got a quorum. I guess we do.
Do we have a class anymore? Bow your heads, please. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we have to gather today. Servants of our city, Lord, help us to make the decisions that are in your best interest and those of our users and community volunteers and other folks involved with the city and the government here that allows us to be involved in this kind of process. Thank you for that, Lord, and please bless what we do here today. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please. Here. Here. Alright, let's see, consideration of minutes, comments, changes, motion. Don't be shy, guys.
Sorry. I move that the minutes of the fire meeting be approved.
I got a motion, we have a second.
I'm taking my look here, but I'll second.
Alright, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unfinished business.
Well, first I'd like to introduce the man sitting right by, Mr. Ken Whitehead. Ken is the new assistant city manager, the overseeing airport and one of some other departments. Ken, and if I give you a bio, this is correct. Long history in government, most recently, 4 or 5 years with Eagle County in Colorado. So we share something similar there. Prior to that, Ken was with Marion County Solid Waste, right?
Yes.
And before that, some time as the consulting industry in the military in West Point, correct? Long time ago. We're excited to have him here as part of their board. They were having a significant perspective as we grow. Welcome to our airport board meeting.
Pleasure to be here.
Really, hope you enjoy.
Terminal parking lot update. This is the general aviation terminal parking lot, the general site plan, The contract was awarded at the last council meeting. And the contract securing their construction bonds. I expect having a construction meeting within the next 30 days.
Who's the contractor?
Hartland Civil Construction. They're not new to jobs for the city of Ocala. Apparently they were hired to do a water sewer project. I think this is going to be their second project for this. I'm encouraged. I'm excited. It's basically the first phase in getting our terminal construction project underway. Speaking with our rental car companies, they're aware of it. We'll certainly invite them to the pre-construction meeting. We'll have some coordination issues so we can maintain an open access to their business. It's going to impact the way that they're able to stage and park the cars, but we worked out an agreement with the guests where we can park some of the rental cars or across the street at the OES parking lot. So they use our facilities when they have the sales, and then we get a chance to use their facility when we're having construction, so it's a good relationship. So like I said, 30 days from now, we'll have a pre-construction meeting. Everything's set and ready to go. Do you have any answering questions on that?
Just one observation. The other half of parking is getting to it. Now, is this a city or county road out in front of us here?
That's county.
Yeah.
It's a county road.
Well, do you think you could go to the county in the spirit of cooperation and gain a little better access to the whole airport? You got to run a gauntlet to get in here.
Yeah, specifically the...
No, there's a couple of them. You can't... Yeah, no matter which way you want to go, you can't go.
Okay. Well, I was advised, I mean, it's not a new issue.
Yeah.
Before, I was advised that something to do would be the distance between all the different curb cuts precluded us from having a two-way in, two-way out type intersection out here and among some other areas. But, you know, the sheriff got it done.
I'm not sure about government to government, but I know from, and Randy, you probably confirm this, from private sector to government, you threaten suits and loss of income and stuff like this. I get a little more relaxed on letting you have your access points. I got one going with the county right now.
Well, I'll certainly look into it a little bit further.
I mean, it's, they're ridiculous out there.
Yeah.
So, that's just my opinion, and opinions are like belly buttons everybody's got.
Do we have a left end? More north there?
Nope.
Yes.
No, you got to pump.
We're the new terminal. Like,
yeah.
It's two in, two out, you know.
Yeah.
In both directions. But in this intersection, if you're northbound on 60, if you have to pass it to get
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got
the terminal has got a left in and a left out.
But they're gonna be looking at it.
There is my left out.
You can't.
But we make it that way.
No, from the
new terminal. The new side.
Terminal.
Yeah.
Okay. Show you. If you argue with them long enough, sometimes they'll give you what you want just to make you go away.
You know they're engineers or something.
All right. Next item, construction of the building.
Terminal building construction. We are waiting for a revised grant scope. For the actual construction of the terminal. That's coming from FDOT. It will come with additional $200,000 grant that we'll have to present for the city council meeting. But the project's moving forward. Once we get that managed scope services and a new grant complete process approved, we'll be able to begin the design shred process. Excited about that. We'll have about 6 or 7 different meetings in that shred process. We'll open up to the stakeholders, the airport, users, tenants, corporate traffic, FBOs, flight schools, city senior leaders, you name it, and then of course the airport board. We'll all be able to contribute to the direction on how the terminal will be designed. It's a good open public process. Facilitating good product. We're still looking at 20,000 square feet, 2 stories. And at least that's what the city manager is shooting for. He has his eyes set on 2 stories with a restaurant on the side of the road. Not a lot of people are there. Yeah, it's kind of where we're starting.
Elevated portion.
Yes.
Any questions? T-hanger,
okay.
Late adjustments.
We briefly mentioned this at the last meeting, the T-hanger rental rate comparison. In front of you is 4 charts. They're organized in the area, essentially. Below 1,000 square feet, small T-hangers, medium T-hangers, and large T-hangers.
That's mine.
Must not get it right. Excuse me.
Our smallest T-hanger is 1,300 feet.
1,033, isn't it?
Our smallest is 1,033 square feet, yes.
Oh, I was looking at the medium, I'm sorry. But now, Mr. Roberts.
I'm back. Okay. So we have about below 1,000 square feet, small, medium, and large. They're sorted by the rate per square foot. Ocala does not have anything below 1,000 square feet. Our smallest is 1,033 square feet. So you'll see Ocala pretty much in the middle with a small, a medium, and a large. That being said, I think there could be some room for movement in the small size hangers. Medium looks like we're still pretty much right there. And then the large, again, pretty close to the middle. You know, in the past, staff has always made a recommendation on the price. And I can do that right now. But I don't want to. I want to try something a little different. I want to put this out there. There's we had great luck working with Andy McNeimer on the Shelter FBO appraisal. He has great insight into the rates and charges on the airport. It wouldn't cost us too much to engage the services and do a team annual appraisal. We'll look at things a little differently to incorporate maybe more of the amenities and benefits and look at the specific airports. Probably open it up to more than what I have listed here. I don't have to go with services drafted to present. I wanted to kick it off the board, get your opinion.
Why would you spend any money doing that? You have it. You have it all right here.
Well, there's.
I mean, amenities, whatever. There's not much amenities to a steel box.
I understand.
You know, the only thing you got a couple of restrooms, and you got the old hangars at least have a hose bib outside. The new ones don't. So, I mean, to me, that's a huge thing to have, you know, some little running water, but that's all you really have to offer. There are really very few amenities. You got an airport. That's what everybody's looking for. So, I mean, you kind of look at small, medium, and large. You look at where everybody else is. You kind of.
I guess I bring it up because I kind of like an independent third party assessment of our rates and charges. And to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever done that with the teenagers. At least not the teenagers that I like.
Well, if the accuracy is good of what you got, if you get all the information of the airports within 50 miles of here, I mean, what else are they going to tell you?
I don't know.
Well, I would say if it cost anything more than about $500, I'd keep the money if it was me. I don't see any reason to spend any money on studying something as basic as this.
I agree. I think it's real easy just if you got the staff members just to make phone calls and pretend you're going to rent something and ask them what they got.
That's what they
are. That's
what I'm saying. What else is it?
Take a picture of it? Whether we want to be in the...
My recommendation my recommendation would be to increase our small rental rates to $250 a month.
How much?
$250. It puts us in Allen and Williston and keeps us right with the things.
One of the problems you run into when you do it that way, and we ran into this in the past, and then we quit accelerating any at all because we were going up 5 or 10% a year, kind of going up along, and then when we had all those empty T-hangers, we stopped going up, so now we've waited. So when you go up with something like that, you've got a 25% increase. The people that have those are going to, you know, they can't go anywhere, but it's not a very good way to greet the user public in terms of doing it. So, $50 on a $200 hanger. So
$25.
And that may be okay, but that's just a caution when we had it before. But if they're all filled up and there's people waiting to get in them, you know, and the ones in the area are a higher price, then...
We do have 5 or 6 vacancies right now, and as you know, this is our slow season. Those will rapidly fill up over the next few months. We'll end up with about 10 people on the list once we get into work. But that's my recommendation, is to increase our small size tax from 225 to 250 a month.
You're recommending down the... We don't really have small...
There are 55 of them. So the impact of that would...
Now, how do you measure these? Square footage is one thing, and that's not...
That is the actual square footage.
Well, square footage isn't what we're selling. We're selling the distance between the tips of the wings, because that's a bigger airplane.
They're 43 to 45 foot airplanes.
Okay, well, the idea behind a larger hangar, when you compare a large hangar to a small hangar, is typically the size of the airplane that you put in it.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about the number of square foot in the thing here. They're not renting it for that, they're renting it for the airplane. So I think one of the things that might be missing off of here, at least in the large opening, is what is the door?
They're all between 45.
I mean, it's competitive.
Because
when somebody's looking for a large hangar, and you're going to pay a premium to get into a large hangar, from now on, $500, I can guarantee, well, I don't know.
They only have one of those.
All right. How long has it been since there's been an increase?
The last increase was 6 or 7.
Really?
The last hangars.
We held them constant.
During the recession.
We built the new units. We had 25 people on the wait list. We built the two new buildings. We ended up even, but nobody on the wait list in a recession. Negative 25 days.
The large hangars primarily are up here on the north end, aren't they?
They're on the opposite ends of each building.
See, those aren't any bigger necessarily. We built some bigger hangars in the end of this building immediately past maintenance. Mm-hmm. Aren't there two or three in the end of each of that that are bigger?
Well, no. I mean, pretty much all the hangars, each row has same general dimensions. On the ends of each row, you'll have your bigger units. And it's not the door opening that's bigger, it's just that they have the extra storage space on the side. Because they're, Tetris effect
as a caveat, I have one of those. But, it's typically, there are some bigger hangars. And one of the things that we should look at doing, because the 172 will fit in hangars at a 310 or maybe even an Aero Commander. So, you're looking at any other hangars we build, we probably ought to look at the market really closely, and Shelter would have that information. Perhaps that's where we ought to go. We ought to get an assessment from Shelter. Because they got a lot of hangars, and they're sitting there in the business. And they do it for nothing. But I think any future hangars we built, we ought to look at not building the ones that, it's not the square footage so much that concerns most people, it's how wide it is, and also
what airplanes can fit inside.
Exactly. The length between the door and the back of the tank for the length of the airplane.
That is also something the appraisal could look into.
We got some airplanes, I don't know. There's some that our hangars aren't quite deep. They may be wide enough, but they're not deep enough.
They're not tall enough. Not tall enough. There's a 340 I gotta pull in now.
Yeah.
Where I gotta put a jet port and lift it all the way up
so
the tail gets under one of the lights. So there's a whole bunch of different aspects that come into it and stuff, and what type of equipment that VO has. Like with that 340, if my jet port goes down, you'd be stuck in this hangar if you want to get pulled in.
Sure. So, there's yet another option to explore, and that is to discuss maybe a management agreement with Shelter on our team hangars.
Well, we went through that once before. The city's finding pretty good revenue off of that. Before we let Landmark have it originally, and then we took it back because they really weren't doing anything. They weren't maintaining them. They weren't doing anything. So, but that is a possibility. I would think, well, what are they going to bring to the table? And we're just giving up revenue for something that, 80 sends out a bill once a month, and our cost is pretty low. So it depends on what you're going to pay, what you're going to give up to get that. What the city's going to actually glean in the end.
Well, it's evident here that our small hangars are priced below our nearest competitors. Door openings are all going to be the same, just full size, plus or minus foot or so, especially on the smaller ones.
Well, the average person who puts an airplane in there, and I've got a couple of things stuck in mind that I'm trying to sell, if anybody want to vote, is typically in there. The size of the airplane that people, the type and size, is more important to them than the number of square. because the people use up, store a lot of stuff in there, and that's something, you know, if somebody's got an airplane in there, storing that kind of stuff has not been a problem.
As long as it's not a fire hazard, yeah, or trip hazard, or obvious hoarding.
In the old days, we had a problem because people would rent them, and they were cheaper than any storage warehouses, and the whole thing was full, would be full of furniture. You've seen that, I'm sure, in Anchorage Health. So that's what we don't want. They're for airplanes. So as long as you've got an airplane in there and you keep a little stuff, and it's not stuff that's a lot of furniture and fire hazards and stuff. We have a, is that, what's the shelter have a policy on their hangars? Here's a routine here, what you can do there and what you can, or what you can put in it?
Absolutely. You have folks that want to bring in furniture. I mean, you keep it very minimal. You can have a little fridge in there. You can have workbench tools. That's pretty standard, nothing flammable. So you do have to do random and routine inspections just to make sure you have people that do put cars in there, they put jet skis. So you got to stay on top of it, survey it, and make sure that they know that they use it.
I got two boats, but they're close to an airplane. They got motors and everything.
I'll just
sell them in a minute if somebody buys them.
I'm looking for an antique car. You can work on an antique airplane. You can't work on an antique car.
Well, I'm looking for a recommendation.
How does Shelter set the value of a hangar? Is it based on the size airplane that goes in there? Do you charge more for a twin than you do for a single?
Are you doing anything different on the community hangar side?
On the community hangar side, we generally charge on the footprint of the aircraft, and really what it comes down to is how much that aircraft costs. We're taking into account the insurance of something less.
Yeah, because you're providing the service to move that.
Exactly. Yeah.
For our team hangars, it's also based on square footage, which is kind of like the footprint. You need to know what your door opening is, multiply by the length of the actual hangar. That gives us an overall square footage rate. And that gives us a ballpark to play with. It all depends on the market and the area. I had to comment about what you guys are to see hangers, because I have folks that are moving in the rate. Typically, we like to stay at about $5 a square foot, and that's on the low end for us. And when we quoted that to someone, they said that was extremely high, and they could get a teen hanger for about $300 a month. So we would want to make sure that we had this dialogue to know what the rate is, if there's any increases, or if we need to come down from what our low spectrum is up to five, we need somewhere at $1 or $4.30 a square foot.
Mm-hmm. And sea hangers and stuff up, I'm really
really it's all
much advice on that. Just putting in, like for instance, putting in Eclipse 500, that has about the same footprint as putting in a Cessna 172 or something like that. But obviously in Eclipse 500, I'm going to charge a lot more for putting that in a community hangar than I would a Cessna 172. But you guys have, is that Dr. Carver's? Eclipse 500 on one of the 100 rows. You guys have this Eclipse 500 out here, and one of the T hangers, and you know that aircraft costs a lot more from one of our hangers than for a 172 if they have the same footprint.
But if you're going to rent hangers from the city standpoint, from our standpoint, you're in the business to make money off what you do. The city's in business to make money for the good of the airport. If you rent a hangar, if you put a 172 in there, you put an Eclipse jet in it. We don't really care unless it's what it is. But you know, if you start comparing it to storing it in a gang hangar, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. You have a profit money. So I don't have time. I'm perfectly willing. Whatever the rent comes out for the hangar I've got makes no difference to me. I can afford it now. I'll keep on paying the rent. So whatever it is, I'm not going to save that money for that.
Why don't we wait one more month on this and see if we can't get Jerry here, because he's got a dog in his fight with a couple other people. But it seems to me that this hasn't had a raise in 10 years on the cost of occupying those hangars. You need to take a look at it, seriously.
I think it's a good idea to raise them. I don't think we need to go for a study. But I think one of the things we need to do, as importantly as anything, is figure out the length and the width to see what kind of airplane it accommodates. And if somebody does have an air, typically the Eclipse jet is a rarity. There's nothing else like it. So most of the other jets you could have, if you get it in a T-hanger, it would be a lot deeper T-hanger, and it would typically be a little wider.
What would it cost to keep it solidly in the middle? I wasn't able to add up all these rates per square foot divided by the number of them, but Yeah, at 250 puts us at 24 cents a square foot, kind of a little bit more than the on the higher side. I just wonder what the average would be of 0.1972 and blah, 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 all adding up all these price per square foot and divide them by, that would take to a few minutes. Put us right in the middle like we are in the other.
My concern when you get to the square footage is you get away from the
You got to face it on
the value of the T anchor for somebody with a bigger room.
You know, it seems to be a kind of a universal way to do it, though. Otherwise, it gets subjective.
But the width of the door and the size of the airplane goes in is not subjective, though. If I've got what's the biggest twin you can get in one of our hangars?
In one of your hangars?
Yeah. Will a 421 go in there?
I think a 421 will fit, but I don't think a 414 will. Although a 414 might fit in a couple of some of the 46-foot doors.
That's my point.
Well, and we've
I think a large T-hanger needs to be one that can take a large airplane. Okay. And use that as a definition rather than how many square feet and so forth, because you can definitely get more for a T-hanger for a 421 than you should be able to get for a Piper. I mean, just in the general scheme of things, figuring that out. And I think one of the things that we've done, we've kind of lost track of where the big hangars are, and the ones that accommodate bigger airplanes. I know for a fact there's at least two or three of them on the end down here that might have smaller airplanes, and you ought to keep them high and let the people know that if a smaller hangar comes available, you can move and save yourself $50 a month. Because we got people that want to put bigger airplanes in
the We actively do that. And believe me, we know exactly where those hangars are. We have very detailed descriptions of each hangar unit. And some are a little off, and some are a little different. And some of them have cutouts for tip tanks. Some of them will fit a twin better than others because the distance from the trailing edge of the wing to the nose of the aircraft is deeper than on some others. So, and we have shifted people around to accommodate new aircraft.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, my point is we should be charging the premium more for the hangar that'll hold a bigger airplane than we are because of the square footage. I happen to stick something in the corner of mine, but some people have those that keep airplanes in them that don't, there's nothing else in there, it's the airplane. They don't care how big it is, but they'll pay more for the extra square footage. Just because they want the hangar, they don't care about storing it.
I think I got an answer to Randy's question.
If you want to know the average is 0.6077.
What would that yield a month at 1,033 square feet?
Top 1033.
Yes, sir.
It's
it's kind of halfway between your recommendation and current,
Well, it's interesting. The average puts you pretty far down the list. The median, obviously, is the one in the middle that it runs into 7. In other words, half over more expensive, half over less expensive.
Yeah.
But 238 would be the average.
Well, Lakeland, say, is not local. It's a good comparison. It's on this small list, but...
I don't think anybody could... I mean, how do you feel about 240, just rounding it up?
I don't think anybody's quitting that. It's been so long.
Yeah, $15 a month. Yeah. It's nothing.
But we ought to be competitive. Whatever it is, we need to be competitive.
We're competitive.
We have to be competitive with the local airports. Somebody's going to have enough room around here. It's going to put their hangar, airplane in the hangar, somewhere it's reasonable to get to. They're not going to go to Lakeland. Yeah, they're probably not going to go to Gainesville. It's a long way to Gainesville Airport. So you're talking about Williston.
No, and Williston, Crystal River, maybe.
The Nylon's
a little cheaper, but they don't offer what we offer.
Still don't drive 10 miles an hour.
No, I think that's another.
Say $15. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the city council that we increase the small T-hangers to $240 a month.
Have a motion.
Effective, when you want to make it effective, so.
You can't go retro 3 years, no.
No, it'll be effective when?
Let's make it October 1st.
Effective October 1st.
That's the start of our new fiscal year.
All right, that sounds like.
I got a motion, do I have a second? All right, got a second?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
What about the others, are we?
It's not recommended.
We're just dealing with the small.
That's right, just the small.
All right, moving on.
Mr. Crofton, I'll do some more research on our buildings and the specific sizes. If we were to change the way we were, we would be charging, shuttle things around and see where the numbers are at.
That wouldn't be unusual, because we just heard that even though it's smaller than the 172, and it doesn't weigh a whole lot more, and a clip jet, he's going to charge more for that, because it's a more expensive airplane.
But we'll look at the interior dimensions a little bit closer, the doorway and the wing width.
That's the wing width, and you're right, my Skymaster is not a particularly large airplane.
But it's wide in the back.
No, no, that's fine in the back, but the distance between the trailing edge of the wings and the propeller spinner, and I don't have a spinner on mine, so I get by a little better, because
right.
It's a military airplane, is very critical. And I'm close. I can only barely get the Skymaster in there, the O2, because the flaps get right up against the, as far as you can go, and my adjustable propeller mechanism is about that far from the door.
Does your neighbor's door go into your house?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's a real factor, because
yes, it is.
I got the spinner, I got the hydraulic mechanism on the propeller sticking right out where if I don't put it in far enough and somebody rams that door into it.
We've had two cars hit by neighbors opening up their T-hanger doors.
Yeah.
Both of them were Ford Mustangs. So, they crammed them in so tight, they didn't take into account that their neighbor's door was going to open, and it went right, you know, the track went right by the rear of the bomb.
My propeller, if I go to buy a new one, and it's because you wrecked the whole mechanism, it's almost the same price as a Ford Mustang.
Oh, is it? Wow.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you for the recommendation.
All right, new business, shelter.
So yesterday we had our first joint market meeting with Shelter, Team Shelter and Team City. We all got around the table and made the introductions essentially had a recap of what Shelter does and their capabilities from a marketing perspective and their target audiences. Met their marketing coordinator. She came down from New York. And we had a nice open dialogue and open discussion. Came up with some really good ideas. Randy and Terry were in attendance as well. Jerry was there.
I told Matt I was useless.
No.
So.
We had not had a meeting like that with extremely positive. Like I said, we have some great.
I didn't say the meeting was useless. I said I was useless.
No. Your presence, just your presence alone, showed a commitment from the airport board. So.
I told you I came away thinking I'm glad we have Shelter here.
The CEP was there as well. We learned a lot about their efforts tying together the equine industry here in town. They've got a new website that they're putting together. It will hopefully bind all the various sports people. I'm ignorant when it comes to the equine sports. Food goes in, food goes out. The jumpers, the thoroughbred. There's no real cohesive group that ties them together. The CEP is making an effort to do that. We talked about the equine quarantine facility on the airport again. That's come up in the past. We've gone so far as to dedicate space in our master plan showing a proposed equine facility. I think there's some pretty good traction outside of the airport for the industry that I think we could actually make something happen relatively soon with that. That would tie in a customs perspective, and it would Well, it would certainly, if we had a commitment to do an equine facility, it certainly would put credibility behind our application to get a customs agent to return to the airport. So that was promising to discuss.
If you could go back and research, prior to your being here, some of the old, Randy, you were around when we talked a lot about the quarantine facility where you're at. There were some things that looked logical and like you could do it, but there's a lot of moving parts to it. So, but times changed, we're more advanced. Perhaps it made a lot of sense to us then. It was like, this is the greatest idea going, we really need to do this. Had a lot of effort, a lot of people traveled to Tallahassee, and somebody went to Washington, I think, and there were...
Does it have to be on the airport, though? Hmm? Does it have to be on the airport?
No, it doesn't have to be on the airport. But we got plenty of, we would want it to be on the airport, because that would be an advantage.
I think it would put us at a competitive advantage.
The one in Miami is on the airport.
That's because there's no pasture.
A new facility, I mean, we have...
Oh, there's no pasture, it's even with farms.
More efficiently, you know, and the times have changed, and I think the culture accepts...
I got an idea, the horses can graze on the taxiways now.
That were expenses and mowing operations.
Let me ask a question about quarantine. I mean, the goal of having a quarantine facility is to get more flights in here, and hence more gas. I mean, is the quarantine facility itself a moneymaker, or is it just the tangent, you know, the spinoff? If it's not, I mean, why reinvent the wheel? You've got a facility already constructed across the street.
They can't.
Farms and everything. They can't quarantine.
One of the factors I do remember was it had to be so far from where those horses were.
They don't want to take a chance to contaminate.
And that people over there were a little nervous about it. They liked it in Miami. They didn't want to hear it.
We discussed having a quarantine facility with Mr. Ventura from across the street, and he claims he does not have the room to put such a facility over there.
If we build it, we have to staff it.
I would not want to staff it.
No,
we would look towards
it. You guys are the back
of staff. Lisa, we always got to put it over here and lease it.
Veterinarians,
it's a government facility. One of the things that it could be to me on the other side of the airport. You build a ramp, you put it close to the ramp, and then you can bring a horse carrier and park it on that ramp. You can have fillets and so forth on the taxiways where a bigger airplane can come to
it. It
could open a lot of doors for us. Mm-hmm. Now that road, see, we looked at the other side before, it was like, it looked like that picture right behind you up there.
Yeah.
But gee, it'd really be nice to be on the other side. But how do you get a half a mile or three quarters of a mile through the woods to get to the other side of the airport?
Yeah, now we have.
Now you look at what we got now, and we actually have, you know, road facilities to that side of the airport. So when it looked like that, and that's what it looked like when we were talking about a quarantine facility.
Well, if we're going to do it, you probably need to do it quick before you get more houses out there, because they're not going to want the horses next to their house.
Well, there's plenty of room for both.
Anyway, we're gonna report very quickly on this. It's got good momentum. We don't want to lose that. So you can expect the monthly updates on the quarantine facility and the
That's a winner if we make that happen.
Does the board want to nominate somebody to work with, probably a future working group?
How about Jerry?
Jerry's a contractor.
Harry resembles a horse.
Yes, thank you.
At least one end of the horse.
No, shelter is on a filter, so why don't you do it, Harry?
What?
Be the representative.
Yeah,
If we get somebody that wants to do it,
I think Vice Mayor Ronnie's going
to. I'll round up
that. Howie Robach going to be the
second
airport representative.
Oh, I'm not going to call a question. I refuse to call a question, so they'll die.
I call the question. Hand it down. All in favor?
Aye. I guess.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just let me know.
Another meeting.
All right.
But if you did go back and research, I don't know how easy it is to look at the minutes or go back.
That was before the
game. You would find not just a meeting or two, it went on over a couple of years. Be a lot of notations about what the problems were then, and maybe you could head some of them off.
Anybody else?
Fuel and ops.
We'll go fuel and ops, okay.
Let's move on.
Fuel and ops. Fuel deliveries on the month were down 34% compared to July of last year. The year's date were down almost 20% on the fuel side. Disappointing. I'm encouraged to have Shelter here to try to make up those numbers. They're certainly more proactive in getting those fuel contracts just in the short 2 months that I've seen them operate. So I am certainly optimistic. I wish I could pinpoint exactly why we're down 20%. But our IFR operations are down compared to last year. Our VFR local operations are up, which is a testament to Cal Aviation's expansion to replace students from Pettingill. So we want to capitalize on that. We're working with Brad on looking for this additional space, great space so that Cal Aviation can bring in additional students. They're knocking on this door. He just doesn't have a room right here. We're revisiting it with the city. I've got some quotes to bring in some extra classroom space. We know where we put it. It's just a matter of looking into the permitting aspect of things. So I've been assured by Mr. Ronco down in the city that he's looking into permitting and seeing what we're going to need to do in order to facilitate moving in those. They're essentially the modular classrooms that you would see at a school in a school district. We would actually piggyback on the school district's contract with providers and then get those on site here.
Okay.
That's a great way to go short term. You wouldn't want to do it forever, but I mean, yeah, it's not good.
Now, we're looking at about 2 years' time. You know, it's.
If you had a dozen of them out there, that wouldn't be a problem for me. I mean, the flight school is doing great.
Yeah. It would, you know, we're going to need to bring in a couple just to relocate our rental car companies when we
demolish.
When we demolish their offices. So, getting this done now with the flight school is going to certainly help us facilitate getting it done for the rental cars. We'll know what to do and how quickly it takes and all that. So, but we're working on that. Do you want to add anything, Brad?
Well, I know that just because he was worried about like off the last month, a big one with us is it was about a week and a half of poor weather.
Yeah.
We're doing, I don't know how many count, I know we're doing quite a bit more than we were last year, so as long as this weather holds out, it's going to improve greatly. I'm already looking at, I've got 13 internationals right now, I've got 6 more coming in the next month, and I've got about 10, 15 I'm actually holding off because I got the workload. So, and the more I get, the more I send home, the more help.
Could you remind the board where they'll stay when they're not flying?
Would it stay? Carl's March, you mean that one?
Yes.
Yeah, we've got 7 apartments now over at Carl's March, 7 townhouses over there, because we include the housing for the students also. So we have the opportunity, I just don't have space right now. The FAA and CBIS, the government agency, won't let me pay any more for the space I have.
They've also partnered with
Liberty University and the VA. Liberty University, so now I can actually. With their, we can offer a bachelor's in aeronautical, a science in aeronautics, and commercial license, 2.5 years. So we've got all these avenues, but I don't have space.
Have you done anything, or I know it's been done in the past, but CF?
CF is not going to do anything right now. CF, we are one of their head of their bachelor program is actually one of our students. He's been trying for the last year and a half, 2 years to get him to move on that. They're just not willing to do it right now. They know they need to, but they're not doing it. Liberty University's been around long enough. They've got the backing, they've got the funding. Our students can come here, go online, and do a 2.5 year master's program.
Yeah, but maybe that's something we can work on. I mean, we can work on, you maybe can't at the higher level of community at college now.
Yeah.
Well, that one's walking distance to the airport. There's got to be some kind of synergies that can be brought from that.
You would hope so. We've been trying about 8 years. Because before it was just an AS, now we have the bachelor's, and you go to meetings, they say, yeah, we need to do this, we'll do it later. That's kind of where they're at right now, so.
Tell me about the money. I'll make some inquiries. You can as well, you've got connections there.
So the last thing I have, you see the runway light there and the transformer. We had a bad storm through the airport last Thursday. Took out two gates. It knocked the self-service fuel island offline, and it took out 75% of our runway lights on runway 136. We've got majority of them working again. But there's a ground fault somewhere in the system that we're still trying to locate, which essentially means I can turn the lights on and leave them on at night, but somewhere in the 300 runway lights out there, it's arcing to ground. So we are in the process of isolating different areas of the runway, testing it, and it's a labor-intensive job. The runway lights are notably out of service right now. If I left it on, it's simple that it would overstress our constant current regulator, which pumps the 6,000 volts through the system, and the lights could go offline in the middle of the night. They could go offline when somebody was on short run, so for safety aspect, I know.
Are the lights operating by the button system, by the EMI?
They're turned off. You can't operate it remotely at all.
So you can't operate at OCAL at night?
Not at night, not right now. Not until we locate where the trouble fault is.
That's a pretty big problem.
It's a big problem. Like I said, we've been active in replacing the parts that we know are known effective. We need to do that first in order to isolate where this ground fault is. We've got Beacon Electric, which is an airfield lighting specialist. We'll be out here Saturday morning. I'll be here with them and using their specialized equipment. If we find that problem, we'll have it back up.
Good. Well, that causes loss of business because there's airplanes, ladder planes that come after dark.
There are, and if they contact us, we'll be here to turn them on manually for them. I was here yesterday for one, but he elected not to come in. We had a bad storm that came just clipped the airport to the north. So, but if they work it out with us, staff will be here and be able to turn it on for that operation in order to accommodate our customers. We realize it is an issue. We don't want to impact our big customers. Maybe one or two nights is fine, but it's been out of service since Thursday night. The bulbs for those are $20 a piece. The actual fixtures are about $200, and that transformer there is about $250. Every single light has a transformer. Incidentally, it's a brand new system. We installed it in 2009 through an AIP FAA grant. It was about a $2 million project. Every single light has about 30 feet of grounding rod driven into the ground. For every light. And even then, we still have this issue with lighting. Everything's in cans, everything's in conduit. If it were the old system with the direct burial, it would be lighting up everything. So,
the city is on the hook for that cost?
We will. the airport is on the hook for the cost. However, because it was a weather incident, I think we'll be able to tie it in with the insurance claim. It's going to be pretty pricey.
Yeah.
This is a big one.
I can do the math in my head. That's a lot of numbers. That's a pretty big number already.
But that's all I have.
Anybody else? Move to adjourn. Move to adjourn?
No.
I look.
You're supposed to ask your individual board members. Yeah, I can talk about that.
I wanted
to lobby against the 1 o'clock time for this meeting.
It's not regular, is it? Is this what we're doing regularly now?
We're going to test run.
Oh, okay. You want to make a move back?
I would think 1:30 would, I don't mind moving it from 3, but 1 o'clock is difficult. If you have a business lunch, it's hard to go to lunch. 1:30 would work better. I have Rotary on Thursday, but the school Rotary meeting, 1:30 would work a lot better.
Let's talk around 1:30.
We're here from 8 to 5. We will accommodate whatever time the board desires.
Is that all, sir?
Yes, all.
Okay, cool. Anything else?
Well, I guess he didn't get the memo. He went to Zaxby's and I went down here and got a cow burger. They were free at the airport for it.
I was going to go to the airport, but I didn't make it. I got other problems.
They're free cow burgers.
Free burgers?
Free cow burgers. Yeah, you missed the memo.
You said you opened up for discussion.
Yeah, that's what we were. He said no.
My name is Nyla, I'm the property manager with Shellcare. I just wanted to give everybody a quick update on the signage. I know it's taken us a little bit longer than expected. Our canopies and our monument signs should be installed and done by the 3rd on the 15th of September. Manufacturing was about a 6 to 8 week turnaround time. We had some internal approvals and our vendors had some delays. So that is in the works. It's definitely happening. We're actually installing the rear signage on hangar 15th. Friday.
Great.
I wonder when you're going to get a sign up. We were wondering if you really were going to stay here. You have temporary signs.
Are we?
Do you have a schematic? It's on the monument sign, but it's
absolutely.
And when did you say the monument sign was?
No, they were on the 15th. They launched from here. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anyone else in the audience? Comments? I have a motion adjourned.
Snagged.
I got a motion in a second. All in favor say aye. See ya.
Thank you.
It did get Mr. Klein's attention when he thought he might have missed
it. I thought I missed a hamburger.
That got his attention.
Yeah, sir. I move we require hamburgers.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to 1:30.